people told me I couldn't do a lot of things.
I feel like I'm the chosen one.
Look at this. We created this. This didn't exist before we were here. All we are is proud and passionate. I love Toronto. I love this team. And we're going to the NBA Finals.
Nothing matters but winning.
Welcome back to episode 82 of Rapsful Weekly. I'm your co-host, Gabriel Celio, alongside
Adam Casucci.
And today we have the final three games of the NBA's regular season for the Toronto Raptors, plus some talk about the NBA playoffs and the play-in tournament. So stay tuned for that. Before we get into that, though, as always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news and Raptors content. And of course, leave your comments down below. We want to hear your opinions. And as well, if you can, you can DM us on Instagram at Rapsville once again to possibly be on an episode of the podcast. All right, so we're going to start right off the bat here with the first game. This is the Toronto Raptors versus the Chicago Bulls. So the third last game, quite an important one in terms of figuring out where we're going to be in terms of the lottery. You know, we were two games back, and this game basically decided it. If we were to lose this, we would end up with the seventh best lottery odds. And lose it we did. We lost 114-102. We knew this one was coming, considering that we decided to rest our entire team. We had Fred VanVleet resting, Lowry resting, Siakam and OG, they claim injury, Watson injury, Hood upsell for the season, and then Boucher and Trent, they were active, but they did not touch the floor. So this game, we saw a little bit more people. We saw eight guys playing, and there was really one big performer for us, and it was Stanley Johnson, someone that we've seen be a reserve pretty much for most of the season. And then tonight he came up and balled out, 35 points, 10 rebounds, 12 for 22 shooting, 6 three balls, something that hasn't been the best for him this season, plus 3 steals. He basically was taking as many shots as possible, shooting a lot of threes and making a decent number of them. You know, driving, being aggressive with the other team, and Chicago, they seem to not be able to contain him. We know Vooch kind of falls asleep a little bit on the defensive end, and it seemed like Stanley took advantage of that. Adam, I know that we weren't expecting this performance from Stanley, right?
Yeah, we weren't really expecting this. Obviously, to have such a great performance against a pretty decent team, the Chicago Bulls, 35 points, 10 boards, and 5 assists, great all-around stat line. He took 22 shots, but he shot it at a good percentage, and that's really appreciated, 54%. And that's totally fine. That's an amazing game. Didn't have too many turnovers in this game, so I thought he played amazing. I thought he stepped up to the plate and really led the team here. But then the next game, we kind of see this fall and this inconsistency from Stanley Johnson, and that's been his problem. Even he's admitted in the past that having that consistency, and he also put up good numbers, 15 in the Dallas game and 24 in the Indiana game. But the shooting, that's where it kind of went downhill. He shot 31% in the Dallas game and 33 in the Indiana game. So there's a little bit of a fall off in percentage. And he took a lot of shots, shooting 18 in the Indiana and 16 in the Dallas. So he took more shots, didn't make as many. So the inconsistency factor has always proved right for Stanley Johnson so far.
Yeah, it seems to be the bench, you know, we've seen a lot of inconsistency. Even to point out Malachi Flynn, obviously tough playing heavy minutes back to back to back, three games in a row. But this game, he put up 16 points and 7 assists, but on 5 for 19 shooting, 2 for 10 from 3, you know, that equates to pretty much 25% from the field, 20% from 3. That's obviously not good. He bounced back in Dallas game, shot 11 for 21. At 26 points, but then Indiana, 27 points, 8 for 22 shooting, around roughly 35% maybe. So another person I think that has put up good numbers in this final couple of games, getting a lot of those minutes, but once again, inconsistency is there. The shooting inefficiency seems to be a problem for both of them.
Yeah. It's just constantly, it's inconsistency. And it's really getting difficult for these guys, and especially with Flynn being the player he is. And I just thought that Flynn has stepped up in these last three games, obviously taking a lot more shots and stuff. He looked more comfortable and less pressure, knowing there's not a lot of guys to be replaced with him. And you can see it, taking a lot of shots that he wouldn't usually take if the big guns were in the lineup. And yeah, and it's just, it's all about creating that efficiency. How can you be the most efficient with your time on the floor? And obviously, we can't expect that right away from these rookie guys, But they've played great. I've honestly liked the way they're playing and slowly moving forward. These games are great reps to see them improve.
Yeah, even Jalen Harris put up 17 points this game on 7 for 12 shooting. And then adding on to that, Birch 14 and 5, and Bembry 12, 2 and 6, 4 steals and a block. Everyone kind of did a little bit, had some time to shine. And for Chicago, Vooch had 16 and 16, a big double-double from him, plus 6 assists. Kobe White, 17 points, 10 assists, and Zach LaVine, 24 points, even Larry Markkanen, 20 points, 7 boards. They had a bunch of big showmen, and obviously going into this tough opponent, they got all of their star players. I'm happy that our team at least could somewhat, you know, put up a fight, kind of stay in it. The first quarter looked really close, and then the second quarter was a complete blowout. We kind of brought it back a little bit and put it within range to make it at least interesting, but at least there was some type of fight here. I can at least say that. And going on to the second game, Dallas, we kind of saw the same thing. First quarter, kind of close, we're in it. Second quarter, blowout. And then we kind of brought it back near the end to make it an interesting game once again. Kind of had the same pattern here. You could see that the skill margin between the two teams and having all their star players and us only having our bench unit, it kind of gave away after the first quarter. But I like to see the fight in our team that we really tried to bring it back with some energy. Because this one ended 114-110, pretty close game. So I'm honestly impressed with that. We had Jalen Harris putting up his career high 31 points on 12 for 21 shooting, 5 three balls in his hometown, Dallas, Texas, with all his family watching. That was incredible. Even Malachi Flynn, career high, he had 26, 6, and 5, 2 steals. He started off rough, but brought it right back. And even had Stanley Johnson with a double-double, 15-10. Aaron Baines, his resurgence, 13.6 boards. We thought we wouldn't see him for the rest of the season, and we needed him, considering we only had 7 players tonight. But I think incredible effort from our guys trying to make it such a close game against Luka Doncic, Porzingis. We saw that one play, Jalen Harris did a couple ball fakes and tricked out Luka Doncic. So I think it was fun to watch for what we had. Right, Adam?
Yeah, he really showed out, and I had a feeling this big game was going to come for Jalen Harris here in his hometown, because the night before he said he was going to be hyped up and ready to go for the game in Dallas, having his family and friends come to watch. And I feel like you have a little bit extra juice in the tank when you see people you know watching. So obviously with this career high, I think he'll get a lot more confidence knowing he can do this at the NBA level. Obviously the consistency will be very tough. And he did get injured though at the end of the game and didn't play the next one. But this is a great game to show his skills and talent, and it's great to show. It raises his player value and shows Nick Nurse what he can do, especially going into next season with a lot of spots available.
Yeah, him and Flynn both stepped up pretty nicely this game, putting up good numbers. Shows a bit of chance to the future here. Jalen Harris, what's going to happen next year for him? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah, Jalen Harris, I totally think that he will be in the roster for sure, and I think he will make the rotation. I think a little bit more than the beginning of the year. Obviously, the beginning of the year, we didn't see him play more in the G League, and Malachi was getting those little minutes. And then he, as the season went on, increased those minutes. But Jalen Harris, I think, yeah, he will get between maybe 15 to 20 minutes a night. And I totally think that that if he continues to play his game, just plays smart, plays hard defensively, and no matter what he does on the offensive end, as long as he's playing great defensively, I think he'll get run with Nick Nurse.
So this is the last game we saw the comparison between the two rookies that we've drafted. So yeah. Adam, looking forward here, what do you think between these two, who's the guy you see maybe more potential in, or maybe you think will be our top rookie going forward? You know, we've seen Jalen Harris just play these last couple of games, and we've seen some incredible offensive performances. And Malachi Flynn, we've kind of seen a yearly showcase of some on and off talent. So what do you think?
Well, yeah, there's a lot to say about this. I don't want to compare them too much because it's really early in their career and we haven't seen too much of them. But we've seen quite a bit of Malachi, and we know he's very good on the defensive end, plays very hard defense, struggles a bit shooting the ball. And his shot selection, I feel, can really up it and really take better shots. But other than that, I think his playmaking ability, he needs to be more aggressive. I think some games he's really on, and I think that streakiness, like I said before, that streakiness needs to turn into consistency. Obviously, he's a rookie, and we need to give him more time. But as the seasons go on here, I think he needs to be more consistent with that. And we're not asking him to put up big, big numbers every game. We're just asking to get positive minutes, whether it be a big assist night, rebounding the ball against guards or whatever it is, playing good defense or whatever it is, just doing something positive for the team and making that impact off the bench, kind of setting the team up in their plays, and that's about it. Jalen Harris, on the other hand, I thought he played well when he's been given the chance. I think he actually shows more potential than Malachi Flynn, to be honest. I think just the draft number is just a number. I totally think when they both stepped on the floor, I've seen Harris be more aggressive, make more plays, shown great basketball IQ, and that's one thing that I have above him on Malachi Flynn. At the beginning of the season, I thought, okay, Malachi Flynn's supposed to be this basketball IQ guy, pick and roll. But as I've watched him, I've seen Jalen Harris kind of turn into that more basketball IQ player, and I think he's more potential for sure.
Yeah, I think comparing the two kind of reminds me of a Norman Powell versus Fred VanVleet. I feel like Malachi is a very pass-first guard. We see, especially in these last couple of games, having only seven guys in, eight, six guys in. His job is primarily to ball in my hands. I got to create for my teammates. I'm trying to set up pick and rolls. I'm trying to move the ball around, get everyone their looks. And he didn't focus too much on his own shot. So when he took them, they were not good looks because he was kind of like, oh, I haven't took a shot yet. Let me take one. And it's not the best shot he ends up taking. So I feel like that affects like his performance in like the points department, but he is that playmaker. And I think he can do a pretty good job at that. Plus, defending, we know he's quite skilled in that department as well. I feel like the offensive end is where you see a little bit of the difference in terms of scoring. I feel like Jalen Harris has proven to be, in these past couple of games, a very efficient scorer. He can shoot the ball extremely well, especially from three. He's been very aggressive with his drives, crafty in the air. Honestly, I'm surprised because at the beginning of the year, I didn't see any of this. We barely saw him. We saw him take a couple shots and miss completely, and he didn't seem to be any type of factor at all. And then near the end of the season, we've been seeing this incredible display of skill and talent and performances. I've been quite impressed. I didn't think he had it in him to be this good, and he's definitely putting on a show for us. So, you know, moving forward, I think that Jalen Harris has so far been the better offensive talent, can score the ball much better. He's tough and he's aggressive. He likes to get his takes in, whereas Malachi seems more passive. And because he doesn't have that distinctive attack mode, he kind of ends up taking a bad shot because he's kind of settling for something that maybe isn't his best look. And maybe he's trying to keep up in the points department with the other guys like Jalen Harris. So I feel like that's Malachi's move, is to get the scoring. And, you know, Kyle kind of said, remember, Adam, you kind of said, like, worry about the playmaking, the points and the scoring will come. So maybe that could be the path for him.
Yeah, and Gabe, in this off season here, in this free agency period, if we do sign a veteran guard coming off the bench, which is a very likely possibility here, who would you take as that secondary guard here? There'll be another spot. So would you go with Malachi or Jalen Harris?
Yeah, it depends what this veteran guard brings to the table, because it looks like if he's going to be a strong playmaker, then I think we need Harris as a scorer, because Harris has proven to be like kind of like, in my opinion, like a Norman Powell role of this season, like kind of focus on offensive power, scoring the ball. And, you know, don't count him out defensively. He's proven to be quite good. 6'5", he's got pretty long arms. He did a pretty good job on Luka and even Porzingis. He was trying to stay up in his face. I feel like he puts a lot of effort in his game defensively as well. So I think that if we're looking for an offensive spark off the bench, he can definitely be it. If that veteran guard is a more primarily a playmaker. If that guard likes to be a scorer, then maybe Malachi could be the playmaker there, and that would make the difference. But honestly, the way things are looking right now, I wouldn't be surprised if Jalen Harris fights his way to the rotation over Malachi Flynn.
Yep, and we could also see Jalen Harris at the three, because he's very versatile in that regard. He can guard bigger players, so having him at the three wouldn't be a bad idea either.
So this game, you know, back to the Dallas game, we kind of got off track here. We ended up losing it, and it was a close fight. Honestly, I'm still impressed with our guys' performances to bring it back. Doncic had a quiet triple-double, 20-10-11, and Porzingis, 21-10. Those were the top two guys, plus Brunson with 19 on 8-for-11 shooting. Those three guys put up points for them, but I'm very impressed with the team's ability to fight back, get them to miss shots, and score. You know, Jalen Harris, one of those guys, not being afraid to attack Porzingis or Luka Doncic, it was honestly quite impressive. So shout out to the guys for putting in that good fight. And that brings us to our final game. The Raptors versus Indiana Pacers. Final game of the season. And just like the other two games, same pattern, right? First quarter was close. Second quarter was a blowout, 37-25. And then we kind of tried staying in it, but this one looked like it was long gone and we were quite outmatched. Considering this game, we only had six. Before it was 8 and 7, now 6 guys. Harris sitting out with a sore foot, just Baines off the bench, along with Gillespie, Johnson, Flynn, Bembry, and Birch. So
that's unheard of. 6 players, like there's no like versatility there. You got one backup center and the rest of the guys are staying on the whole game. They must be exhausted, and I don't really fault them for that, but this game looked like a pure like high school basketball game, just chucking up shots on both ends too. Indiana didn't look that great either. I thought they didn't play the best, just handing the ball to Sabonis and kind of working off him. But yeah, I totally think this game was a mess.
Yeah, everyone 40-plus minutes for the most part except Baines, who played 26. Malachi Flynn had 45 minutes of play. You know, lack of ball handling there. You needed to have him in. No subs. Everyone was kind of resting, and they thought this is the last opportunity to get these rookies and these young guys minutes to play. And hopefully we don't see a season like this ever again. So this could be the last opportunity for all these guys to get huge, huge minutes game in, game out. And they kind of all had their little piece of the pie. Birch had 18 points, 14 rebounds, a nice game from him, 8 for 15 shooting, he shot the best, I think, on the team. Bembry, 23, 5, and 4, he started off good, he had 3 steals also, but he ended up playing really bad second half, he shot 9 for 22. Stanley Johnson, 24, 5, and 7, shooting 6 for 18, 3 for 12 from 3. Malachi Flynn, 27, 4, and 5, 8 for 22. Gillespie only 7-10, and Baines 14-10, who started off pretty strong in his first couple of minutes of play. He put up a lot of points, made all of his 3 balls at the time, and then kind of shot worse going into later on in the game. Everyone had their moment to shine. Everyone had a little bit of play style. It was kind of just like blasting the season, let's just get it over with type of feel. You know, you had Fred commentating 3/4 of the game and him just kind of having fun, but it was more or less just like we were all kind of waiting to get this game over with.
Yeah, Gabe, don't you also realize when there's no leader on the floor, like Kyle or Fred or even Siakam, when there's none of those guys on the floor, guys like Stanley Johnson and Bembry, they start to force a lot of shots, and that's why you've seen such a high shot output from them. And it almost becomes like an isolation. Like, I've seen Stanley Johnson, like, drive in, like, a bunch of times just, like, trying to draw a foul, and it's not a good play. And Bembry, too, trying to make a very tough layup, athletic finishes. And I think that's where we went wrong this game. It just became about, like, the numbers and who, like, kind of got the show performance. And that's not Raptors basketball. And, yeah.
You know, I agree. Flynn as well put up a lot of shots, about 20 shots from all those 3 of those guys, more or less. None of them shot it efficiently. I think Bembry was trying to go for that career high once he saw his points getting up there. Johnson wanted to obviously follow up his other performances. Those 2 guys being veterans clearly wanted to show that they can lead the way and find. Obviously, this is also a showcase for them. You know, Stanley Johnson, his contract, I believe, is running out. If he's in free agency, he kind of wants to show what he has left, and he tried to use this time to do that. Malachi Flynn, I guess without Jalen Harris on the floor, maybe he wanted to show that he still can be that top guard off the bench over Harris. And I feel like all 3 of them are kind of fighting for a show. Meanwhile, someone like Birch was a little more relaxed. He knew that his spot's fine, and he kind of played good basketball. And Aaron Baines, I feel like he took quite a bit of shots as well, but usually decent shots. So, I don't know. I feel like everyone kind of just wanted a bit of the spotlight today. Would you agree?
Yeah, everyone wanted a little bit, and no one wanted to seem like with 6 players, they couldn't do a lot. So, yeah, and I also wanted to mention O'Shea Brissett. Shout out to him, 31 points, 10 rebounds. And Ask Gabe, I always liked him when he was on the team. I thought it was a mistake waving him. I thought he was a very versatile guard, could play defense, shoot the 3 ball, very, very good at interior defense. So I thought it was a mistake, and it really showed out today. Even though he was playing our reserve players, I thought he played an amazing game, obviously 31 points, and he showed out from all levels of scoring.
Yeah, other guys taking a little bit of back role. LeVert only played a bit and then left with an illness. He had 13 points, 6 boards in 21 minutes. Doug McDermott shot the ball well with 20 points, and Sabonis 25, 16, and 5. But and TJ McConnell as well, 12 points and 17 assists, diming everything, 2 steals and a block. They all had a bit of contribution as well, but Brissett was the big talk of the night. And I can vouch, and we talked about it on the podcast, when we chose Watson to stay on this team and Brissett to leave, we did talk about it, that we really wish Brissett stayed. honestly, going into this, I think Brissett's playing quite well, considering that he's getting tons of minutes, starting role with all these guys out. Plus, we had our bench guys in. This has obviously been his highest scoring night in a while. I think his top was like 20, 22, maybe 23, and now he had 31 because of our bench unit. So I think there was a little bit of boost there in his confidence and ability to score because of the competition. But I do think that he does have a great NBA-ready body. That was one thing I always saw in him, was that he's nice and lanky. He's long. He's pretty quick. He's got a nice frame. He can shoot the ball pretty decently. With us, he didn't do it on such a high level, but I think that this switch for him has just been great, getting tons of minutes on this injured Indiana team and finding somehow some starting role minutes. I feel like it's just been a great step for him. And from his performance tonight, it's clear that I wish we kept on to someone like him. Maybe if we didn't have Watson, we had him instead, the added size could have done something for our team, but we can't talk about that now. Things that happened the way they happened, and now we got to move forward. Okay, so this final topic now we're going over is kind of the play-in tournaments here. So kind of the way that the seeding ended up in these final games had Indiana in 9th, Charlotte in 10th, Washington in 8th, Boston in 7th, because Washington was able to beat Charlotte in a little bit of a comeback there. So the first games that are happening tomorrow is Charlotte, Indiana, Washington, Boston. Adam, what are your predictions for these games?
Okay, so the first game, I think Indiana will win. And then for the Washington versus Boston, I think Washington will win. And then for the Boston and Indiana for 8th, I do think Indiana will come through. I think just Boston has had such a horrible season like us, and they have a lot of injuries, obviously losing Jaylen Brown, Tatum with the COVID, Marcus Smart hasn't been healthy, so hasn't Kemba the whole season. So they've been having a lot of moving pieces. They haven't had a lot of team chemistry of late, and it's shown by their record why they're in this position. So I think those two teams will make it through.
All right. We'll see who ends up being right here. I think Charlotte's going to beat Indiana. I think Indiana has too much like turmoil between the team, the coaches. I know fans have been seeing, obviously, in social media and stuff, like the coaching staff and the players all swearing at each other, people getting fined by the organization and stuff. I feel like there's just a lot of bad blood, plus what they've had to deal with injuries and how they performed against us. I didn't see a top performance. I know Charlotte's coming back to, I think they're going to come back to somewhat of a full strength. Obviously, Gordon Hayward, he should still be out. But I do think that they can scrape by and catch a victory. I just feel like there's something about them, some underdog mentality there. I think the young talent, the way that they play, such high pace, I feel like they're going to find a way just to pull through. It'll probably be a really close fight. But for some reason, I think that that's just the way it's going to swing. Although they did fall to Washington, they kind of lost their lead there. I think that they're going to know that this is a big game for them. I feel like they're going to come through. I agree with you on Washington versus Boston. I think Boston is dealing with some injuries and stuff right now. I think Washington has a motor and a half. We've seen Westbrook kind of carry his team up from a bit of the dust here, pull his way to the 8th seed. I feel like they're driving on a lot of good momentum. And there's something about Russ versus KD that I just know it's always a thing that like people, the fans love to see it. So I have a feeling he's going to find a way to win that game against Boston and versus KD with the 7th versus 2nd. And it's going to be a fun matchup. So I have them winning that. And then Boston versus Charlotte. This one, I think Boston will take it. It depends, obviously, if all those game time decisions get resolved. But I think by then, Boston has kind of the more experienced team and the stronger team. And I feel like they'll have the edge over Charlotte there. Okay, now on to the West side. So for the West, also, we kind of saw these last minute games, Golden State beating Memphis yesterday, kind of switched the tide there. So we have Lakers in 7th, Golden State in 8th, Memphis in 9th, and the Spurs in 10th. So Adam, starting with the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs, what's happening there?
So Memphis Grizzlies and San Antonio Spurs, I do think that the Grizzlies will win. And this is a very hot take because a lot of people will say Popovich has the edge and he's very experienced in these games with the timeouts and stuff. But I think this Memphis Grizzlies team, they play good basketball. There's no like standout star. They play really good team basketball. Ja Morant and JV obviously leading the charge. And I think that there will be no answer for JV on the inside for San Antonio. Like, we've known that for a while, that they've struggled with big men. They don't really have a big man. They have Eubanks and Pirtle, and those guys are both, to me, not even backup centers, in my opinion. So I totally think that that, yeah, they'll struggle with that matchup. Then Golden State versus the Lakers. I'm going with the Lakers here. Very easy in my choice. I think that on the inside, I think the Warriors will be eaten alive. When LeBron's back, Drummond is healthy, Davis is healthy. So I totally think in playoff time, Lakers have the edge there. And then for the Golden State versus Memphis, I'm going to have to take Golden State. I'm going to have to edge with Curry with all the playoff experience. I feel like he can have one of those big games, those 40 or 50 point bombs that can lead them over the edge. And Draymond playing good defense, obviously on elimination, I think that he'll step up.
How unfortunate for the teams in the top, Utah and Phoenix, having fantastic seasons, finding a way to first and second, and they're going to end up probably versing maybe the Lakers and Golden State, of obviously former championship teams. Like, it's quite tough for them. For me, I'm going to go as well Memphis over San Antonio. San Antonio does have Pop and all that jazz, but I don't see them being too much of a contender. I feel like Memphis has John Morant got a huge motor, JV being an absolute animal this season, a bunch of other skilled players, Brooks, and they have other pieces as well that can score the ball. I have a feeling that Memphis will just edge their way through. They did beat San Antonio, I believe, like on a back-to-back near the beginning of the year. I feel like that one will be a close matchup, but I think Memphis will take it. And as well, I'm going to go Lakers over Golden State. Obviously, it could be one of those nights where Curry just goes absolutely insane and no one can stop him. But I do think that the Lakers, when at full health, if everyone's doing good, you got LeBron, you got AD, you got Drummond, you got a lot of firepower there. Going to be tough guards for Golden State. And I really think that they're going to have the edge. Obviously, they're going to have to play better basketball than they've been playing recently. But I think that when it comes time to it, LeBron will turn it up and they're going to take that. And just like you, I'm going to say Golden State over Memphis. Curry's obviously going to be going crazy like he has been, arguably MVP this season. If he doesn't do it against the Lakers, I think he'll do it against Memphis. So I'm going to go the exact same thing for you on the West side. And Adam, one final question. Like, how do you feel about these play-in tournaments? Do you think that it is a good alternative? Do you think it's maybe just good for this season, considering it's condensed and there may be not enough time for teams to prove themselves? And who has had to deal with COVID and stuff, injuries, that it wasn't a true showing, so maybe the play-in tournament holds some ground? Or do you think, scrap it, it's not really worth it?
Well, hey, this season's been all over the place this season. So if you're having a season like this, I totally think that the play-in tournament is acceptable, and I think it brings more fun to the fans. Yep. Obviously, it's very tough for teams like the Lakers and the seventh seeds, and because you play such a good season, you work your ass off, and you get into a position where you want to be in the playoffs, and then you kind of get stuck on that edge of that playoff tournament, and then you have to play into it, and if you get unlucky in those couple of games, you're out, right? So you get stuck there, but I totally think it's great for the season, the way it turned out and stuff. I think it's a good idea.
I agree. I think if it's any time to do it, it'd be this season. Like you said, good for the fans, but I do think it is tough for the players and the teams who have worked hard all season and maybe don't get to go through this. Like, obviously, Golden State and Lakers, it's one game, do or die. You don't have, like, they got obviously two chances, but still, like, it's a one game. If you lose, then you got another chance, and that's it. There's no series. There's no seven games. Understand a team. It's one game, one chance. You really don't want to make a mistake, and if you do, it's unfortunate because these are obviously some of the top guys in the league. Obviously, LeBron James, Stephen Curry, Anthony Davis. Like, these are guys you want to see in the playoffs. So, obviously, we hope that this doesn't not go in their favor because we want to see a competitive matchup of sorts. So that's where it can affect people. But I think overall this season, it'll be a fun little addition considering how weird things are. And maybe some teams were a little too close for comfort and we want to see a little more gap between them so people can really fight for their spots here. But it'll be interesting. And honestly, I'm just excited to see what happens in the playoffs. Obviously, now the Raptors are out. We're just observers, right, Adam?
Yep. And Gabe, any predictions on a champion?
I don't want to give it away too early just yet. I'm going to wait maybe for the next episode to drop my...
No. You have to do it right from the beginning. You can't wait for
I don't know. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen in the play-in tournament, though. So I want to see... Let's see what happens in the play-in tournament. If Curry's going absolutely crazy, if he doesn't make it, if the Lakers can somehow... Because the Lakers, their former championship team, they won last year. They could do it again, for all you know. So let's just see if they get through easy, and then we'll call our predictions.
for me, I think it's just going to come down to health at the end of the day.
Honestly, that's a big factor this season in general. So I can see that being definitely one of the things that'll shift the tide. All right, that's pretty much it. We hope you all enjoyed. As always, please like and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram at Rapsville for NBA news, Raptors content. Leave your comments down below. DM us to be a part of the episodes. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Raptors season done. Time to focus on the playoffs and have some fun. Still watch the games. Keep up with us, guys, please. Yeah, that's us signing out. Peace.
Peace.
You know, people don't really understand how obsessed I am with winning. It's not, I don't care about anything else.